Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You are listening to Inside F1 with Joe Sayward on Missed Apex Podcast. We live F1. You're listening to Inside F1 with Joe Sayward in the shed on Missed Apex Podcast. I'm back. I had handed over the keys to the tech crew, to Trumpets, and to Summers, so make sure you catch Sunday's Tech Time where they talked about, I don't know, tyres or vortices or something like that. Also, be sure to tune into the W Series Race Review podcast that we did. Round one took place in Hockenheim. You can go to mistapexpodcast.com/W Series to catch me, Brad and Sarah discussing what I think was a fairly decent first race. And also make sure you tune into E-Radio Show because Matt and Chris work very hard delivering you all the best from the world's premier electric racing series. I'm Spanners, the host and producer of Missed Apex Podcast. We're an independent podcast produced in the podcasting shed with the kind permission of our better halves. We aim to bring you race reviews before your Monday morning commute. We might be wrong, but we're first. I'm joined in the shed by F1 media legend Joe Sayward. How's it going, Joe?
Joyous, me.
I'm surprised you had any time to speak to us when we've got so much Missed Apex content that you'll have been desperate to catch up with.
Yeah, not really, but, you know, whatever. I've got to, I'm between races, and it's a bank holiday tomorrow in France, it being Wednesday tomorrow. It's Victory in Europe Day.
You can't have a day off randomly on a Wednesday.
Yes, you can. There was one last week, too.
Ah, those.
May the 1st is May Day, and there's always a bank holiday, and May the 8th is always a bank holiday because it's Victory in Europe Day.
Do you know what? I think that's fake news, Joe. And if I accuse you of fake news, I'm not the only one. I'm in grand company. Silverstone.
No,
Silverstone says you're fake news, Joe.
What do they know?
So you told the world, you declared that the deal for F1 at Silverstone was a done deal. And Silverstone tweeted quite aggressively that you were fake news, Joe.
And did they keep it up?
Now, I thought they did. But
no,
obviously you pointed out on your blog that they then took that down. So what's the story behind that? What's the skinny, Joe?
Well, the skinny is that I had a story from very, very good sources who I cannot mention, but I have mentioned to Spanners, which is why he's smiling, because he knows that they are very good sources.
Yep.
And Silverstone said it's not true. And I spoke to the man from Silverstone and I said, I didn't say who it was who told me. I said, well, I'm very convinced that it's true. And it's confirmed by two different sources, not just one. And he said, it's not done. And I said, fair enough. But I, as you may have noticed, I did not retract the story because I believe it to be true. I think what's probably happened is that there is an agreement in place, verbal, handshake, whatever. And other elements have entered the negotiations. Now, I think that's probably to do with the fact that Liberty Media is negotiating for a Grand Prix in London, which will be a second Grand Prix. But Silverstone would obviously be worried about losing ticket sales. Not that they would, but I think there's a certain sort of level of paranoia about everything that Liberty does around Silverstone. So we'll see what happens, but I'm utterly convinced that there's a done deal there. And if there isn't a done deal, they're stupid. Monza immediately leapt in there you will find in a few days' time the Dutch Grand Prix is confirmed. Spain is dead. Germany's dead.
Whoa. Right. You've given us absolutely loads to unpack there. Docklands, Spain is dead. Germany's dead. And then I also want to talk about the whole kind of journalistic process of these sources and breaking stories. Let's just start with Silverstone, stay with them. As far as they're concerned, you know, they're trying to do some kind of backdoor deal. And along comes Joe Saywood and kind of ruins it. So they've obviously been cornered and felt the need to react.
Joe Saywood is not a backdoor deal. Joe Saywood is a source who has got good sourcing. Now, whether the good sources told me because they wanted to cause trouble is another matter. But when I use the word sources, it's not just one, it's two, at least two sources. And two sources who are extremely high level and very, very reasonable. I would not have written the story if I didn't believe the sources. And trusted sources are there because they're trusted, and being trusted takes a long time. So there are a number of sources saying one thing. Silverstone says something else. Now, I kind of trust Silverstone at the same time. And that as I wrote in the blog, I think, at the time, when you have a real problem when trusted sources say the opposite to one another. But unfortunately, it's 3-2 in this particular case. And I stand by my story. I don't think there's any reason to change it. There will be a British Grand Prix for 3 years. Between 2020 and 2022, unless somebody is really stupid.
See, the internet reaction was interesting, though, because you're Joe Saywood and you've been around since 1988. The fact that people would either think that you just stumbled along somehow since 1988, just willy-nilly saying whatever you want, that's an interesting reaction. Of course, there will be some people who just don't like you, Joe, and think you're a grumpy old git and would have been delighting wrong. So it's a really interesting kind of balancing act as a journalist between keeping everyone sweet, maintaining your reputation. I suppose you couldn't do all that fake news for too long before your reputation was just in tatters and no one listened to you.
Well, no, you don't have a reputation. If you produce bad stories, you have no reputation. End of story. And you know, the reason I'm standing by the story is that I believe it to be true, and I don't say that lightly. I'm not sort of saying this. I made it up. I woke up on Sunday morning in Baku and said, oh, I'm going to write a story about the British Grand Prix today. I have nothing to back it up with. Well, that's just, you know, the fact is I have a lot to back it up with. I'm sticking to it. It's big news. It's a big story. If they choose to be rude, which is what fake news is, but that's why they took it down, I think, because basically I sort of said, you know, I'm standing by it. If you want to just insult me, fair enough. But, you know, they didn't. So
you've got a feeling that perhaps
it's kind of smart not to insult me, because you make an enemy that way. You know what I mean?
So perhaps, you know, the person running the social media could easily have just misjudged the tone. It's quite easy to use fake news and try and sort of think you're joking, but it didn't come across like that.
I think it came, it's more to do with Silverstone not having a particular structure. I think it was someone in marketing.
Yeah.
As opposed to media, because media people should be smarter than that. So,
mind you, I'm open to bribes. So if Silverstone are listening, if you want to do me some kind of paddock pass, next time there's a Saywood Silverstone dispute, I will be on hashtag Team Silverstone. You mentioned Docklands. Now, obviously,
tart.
Integrities for people with careers. I haven't got one yet. Now, you mentioned another race in the Docklands. Is this going to be a street circuit? Will this be the European Grand Prix?
No, it wouldn't be the European Grand Prix. I would think it'd be the London Grand Prix. It's all about destination cities. And London is a destination city. Europe is nothing, really. Europe is, well, actually, who knows what Europe is these days? Anyway, moving swiftly on from that, I think they've been after a London Grand Prix for a long time. They've been after a Miami Grand Prix. They're after a New York Grand Prix. They want the cities. They want the name of the cities. So I would say, you know, they're trying to get one in the Docklands. Formula E's got there, racing inside the XL, among other things, which is a daft circuit, if ever I've heard of one. But there are lots of bits of that particular area of the Docklands that are interesting to develop. There's the Emirates, Airline, whatever it is, that cable car that flies across the Thames.
Ah, yes.
Which is quite dramatic, actually. I went on it once. And there's a Siemens building called the Diamond, I think it is, which is quite interesting. But what they're all doing is talking about sustainability. And that's something Chase Carey said at the start of this year about Formula One. We have to push the sustainability of Formula One because hybrid technology is more sustainable right now, contrary to popular belief, than electric cars. That may be a controversial thing to say, but that is actually true.
Well, I guess a hybrid kind of feeds back into itself, whereas an electric car is dependent on you producing power somewhere else and then storing it in the car, I guess. But don't all electric cars kind of recover anyway?
It's to do with carbon. It's to do with carbon footprints. And carbon footprints, you know, electric cars are not as clean as people like to think they are. And Formula One is doing amazing things for the internal combustion engine and the long-term future of fossil fuels, because it's increasing the long-term future of fossil fuels, not just by 5 years, 10 years, by a very long way. Now, admittedly, in a perfect world, perhaps electric cars are the way to go, but there's no infrastructure for them. You know, the batteries, you just pile on batteries, the battery technology is not developing fast enough, the da-di-da-di-da. We've been through all this before. So I think that hybrid is the way to go. It's very interesting to see Toyota this last week have, I can't remember the number, it's some ludicrous number, 24,000, I think. Toyota have just thrown open a lot of their patents and just say, everybody, use these. This is how you do it. Because they want everybody else to stop messing around and dreaming about electric cars. Just go hybrid, and that's the way to go. And that's so Toyota have said, okay, here it is. This is what we're going to do. You notice that Toyota is not in Formula E. Why would that be?
Because that's not hybrid.
No, but Toyota don't believe in electric cars.
What, like they think it's like the tooth fairy that it just?
Yes, they do. Right. They think that hybrid cars will go to nitrogen.
Okay, and
in the long term, and they may be right. To be honest, Toyota get it right a lot, and Volkswagen had a very good reason to jump into to Formula E. Yeah, there's a lot of companies jumped into Formula E because it was the green place to be. Volkswagen, Audi, etc. had a particular good reason, Porsche to jump into Formula E, because it was a good way of disguising the fact that you've been caught fiddling the diesel numbers, of which I can say that without impunity, because they were clearly doing it, as a number of them are going to jail as a result of that. So, you know, the timing was perfect for Formula E. The diesel scandal, the Volkswagen diesel scandal, came along at exactly the right moment for Formula E. And I think a lot of them jumped into that simply for that reason. Because, oh my God, we can't talk about diesel. Let's talk electric. And in the meantime, we'll take all our customers to VIP hospitality. There are not many spectators at Formula E races, but there's an awful lot of fat blokes standing around drinking wine. So
he says, quaffing on his rosé, Joe.
Happily doing so.
So do you think, though, that the Docklands Grand Prix, do you think that a London Grand Prix could do what no other place does and have a street circuit that doesn't suck?
Of course. Sorry, Baku is a street circuit that sucks?
Yep.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. Unless there's a safety car, it's boring. And we've seen it twice now.
It's not boring.
And the threat of a safety car makes it tactically uninteresting.
300 kilometres an hour through the middle of a town is not boring.
He's a bit, though, isn't it, Joe?
No, it's not. It's not. I'm sorry. That's utterly, utterly wrong. Street circuits can be very exciting if they are properly designed. I think the Vietnam circuit is going to be really exciting.
So, but if we address Baku, for example, because there's a threat of the safety car because of the walls and everyone smashing into them, no one wanted to pit. So we had a situation like Monaco a couple of years back when Daniel Ricciardo had that engine problem and you couldn't get past him. So there was absolutely no point pushing. And that's what we had in Baku. But there was no point pitting and getting onto fresh tyres, because a safety car would have instantly made that a terrible idea. So they all stayed out on less high-performing tyres.
Well, whatever. I mean, you can argue it from different ways, but Baku is a good street circuit. Baku is a circuit which is fast, it's entertaining, it allows overtaking. Now, if the tactics are such that things happen that shouldn't happen, that's another matter. But the fact is that it should be, and it has been to date, very, very good racing. Now, if you try to argue the same case at Monaco, absolutely not. Monaco needs an overtaking place created.
It certainly does, yeah.
At the same time, Monaco is the history of the sport, the glamour, the excitement. And if you haven't been there, if you haven't seen these lunatics driving around Monaco, you haven't lived. And that is a very key point.
Speaking of journalism and reporting and finding things out by talking to people, it's a lot easier for you, you know, wandering around the paddock, having champagne and prawn sandwiches with all the hoi polloi in Formula One. I have to do it from a shed, Joe. I have to find my investigative skills from a shed. Can I share with you what I think I know about the upcoming Barcelona Grand Prix? And you tell me if you think I'm crazy.
I will happily tell you.
Don't prejudge. Maybe.
Am I prejudging? I'm merely saying I'll happily tell you.
So a lot of cars are turning up with a lot of upgrades in Barcelona. And I want to ask you why Barcelona is the reason for that. But Red Bull, who have been struggling aerodynamically, even though the common perception is they have the power, are rumoured to be turning up in Barcelona with brand new chassis. So like a full-on B-spec car that they think has solved their overcooling problems. And if that's true, Honda Red Bull could genuinely be a real threat in Spain.
Maybe they are, maybe they're not. I mean, I've heard the same rumors, I've heard the same stories about Mercedes turning up with a new chassis. The reason it happens in Barcelona is it's the first European race and it's an easy opportunity. There's a sort of break between flying around and being in Europe, and it makes a big difference. So they can do things at this point in the season and fix problems that have been found early on. Now we'll see. I don't know. I'd love to be able to say that Red Bull Honda is going to start winning races. That would be terrific. Absolutely terrific, because everybody says it's boring to have Mercedes winning. The fact that Mercedes are doing a better job than everybody else is not ever taken into account. You know, Ferrari have a very good car, but they keep screwing up. And that's, you know, they keep trying to make Sebastian Vettel win, which is daft. I'm not sure that's why what they intend to do when they do these decisions, but it's just daft. And I had a conversation with Binotto about it in the middle of the night in an airport somewhere. And I don't think they're doing it because they're doing it because when, you know, Sebastian says I can go faster than Charles, Sebastian probably believes it. The fact he can't makes it a stupid decision, but that doesn't mean it's a stupid decision when it was made. The next time Sebastian gets on the radio and says I can go faster than Charles, they may think twice about it. You know, so these are the things. I mean, Charles didn't help himself in Baku by crashing, to be honest. And the policy that they adopted, the strategy that was adopted was entirely sensible. They did exactly what you would expect them to do, which was Sebastian tried to undercut, or at least the strategy was to undercut the Mercs. The Mercs came in. Charles took the lead. But the fact was the Ferrari didn't have the legs on the tyres. So he couldn't take advantage of that strategic ploy that was going on. Now, you know, in terms of pure pace, I still think the Ferrari is a very good car. And it just happens that Mercedes have won the first four.
So you still think that Ferrari have got a chance toe-to-toe pace-wise? Because that is not the impression I've got at the moment.
That's the impression I have. I think that I'm sorry, but pole position in in Baku would probably have gone to Charles Leclerc if he hadn't crashed the damn car.
Yes.
But it's an if. The fact is, who was the fastest car throughout all the practice sessions? Charles Leclerc. What happened? He crashed. So he was pushing too hard, he made a mistake, whatever. The fact is, the car is still quick.
So the devil's advocate in me says that
surely not.
I can hear screaming voices through my email already saying it doesn't really matter what you do in practice, and Mercedes are notorious for not showing all their pace in practice. So that might be another side to that coin.
Maybe. But the fact is that how far off pole position was Sebastian Vettel? Not very far. That's a good car. I'm sorry, we know it's a good car. The fact is, they're just not using it very well. Now, it doesn't necessarily race as well, but some races it does, some races it doesn't, because that's the way the tyres are. And you've heard everybody say getting these tyres into the sweet spot is very difficult. So when someone does it, look at the Haas team. When they get that car into a sweet spot, it's quick. When the car isn't in a sweet spot, it's a disaster. And we've seen that time and time again. So the fact is, these are difficult tyres. You have to get them right. Mercedes have got them more right than everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get onto Haas in a little while, but we kind of skipped past the decision of backing Sebastian Vettel over Leclerc. Is there not a case to be made that Leclerc is still an unproven entity? He is in his second season of Formula One, and Lewis Hamilton being the exception to the rule in Formula One, bursting onto the scene and being successful as a rookie, Ferrari have got to kind of go in their head and go, well, hang on a minute, we do know Sebastian Vettel. If we put all our eggs in this rookie's basket, he's still young enough to implode.
Absolutely not. Because Sebastian blew all his chances last year. He blew his credibility last year by having six unforced errors, one after another. He doesn't have that margin of error. He needs to prove himself. He might have won four world championships with another team, but he's not good enough to beat Charles. And he's got to do the thing. He's got to beat Charles. And so why should he be number one? He shouldn't be number one. It doesn't matter how many world titles you've got. I can give you an endless list of world champions who became rubbish after they were world champions. They've got to keep delivering. That's what Formula One is. You're only as good as your last result. And Sebastian Vettel is not that good right now.
Toto Wolff, though, is losing the trust of the Formula One audience because he keeps coming out and saying, no, I really do think Ferrari are a threat. Ferrari are equal, just like you're saying. But it's not helping that case. The perception of the F1 audience is definitely going the other way because Mercedes keep coming out and tonking.
The F1 audience correct, does it?
Surely if more people think a thing, it's definitely right.
No.
Oh, right.
Perception in this case is not reality, because why would people who don't know what they're talking about know better than Toto Wolff? Okay. Honestly, why would you know? Because David Croft tells you something on the telly? It's rubbish. You know, the fact is that if Toto Wolff says something, he says it for a reason. And he says it for a good reason because he believes it. He's not making it up or trying to play some sort of PR game. He's saying it because he believes it. And so all the conspiracy theorists out there who write blogs and have websites and all the rest of it, they can all do as much of that as they like. But the fact is that Toto Wolff says this and sensible people agree with him.
Well, can we stay on Mercedes for a bit? Because I've got a question from Big Ray, which sets us down a good path. Big Ray asks, Bottas seems to want his Mercedes contract wrapped up quickly. Any ideas on that from Papa Joe? He's doing himself favours. My personal opinion at the moment is he's having the rub of the green a little in these first four races, not quite representative for me of how Bottas and Hamilton will go season long. But is this a case for him? His PR guy and his agent must be going, see, let's sign that deal now.
Well, the problem is his manager is Toto Wolff.
All right. So he's got to argue with himself.
No, he's a hands-off manager, but fundamentally Bottas is managed by a company that Toto Wolff has a shareholding in. Now, he doesn't make the decisions, but the other thing is that Toto is extremely aware of the fact that he has Esteban Ocon, and he needs to put Ocon racing because, Lance Stroll took Ocon's seat because he's rich, He's not a bad racing driver, but he ain't, you know, he's not top notch. And they need to find a way to get Ocon back into a proper top. It was just a fluke. It was bad luck that Ocon is out for a season, but it's bad for Ocon to be out. Oddly enough, Ocon being out has generated a certain amount of passion in Valtteri. I was talking to Ocon the other day, and I said, "You know, you're the architect of your own downfall here, because the fact that you're standing in the back of the garage makes Valtteri work harder, and it does. I mean, that is the truth of the matter. But somewhere along the way, somebody has to make the decision as to who is ultimately going to replace Lewis Hamilton the day Lewis stops. Lewis is not going to stop for a while. Two more years, I should say. If he wins 6 and 7, then he'll probably stay for 8, actually, to be honest. So you're talking about 3 years. I think after 8, he's going to stop, come what may, if he wins them, which, you know, there's no guarantee he will. But do you want to have Bottas as your front man, as your lead, your point man, or do you want Ocon? The answer is you want Ocon, don't you?
Yes. I mean, Bottas, let's not take anything away from him. I think it's possibly the ultimate pace that he's lacking. He's not, you know, he's not spinning around everywhere like Sebastian Vettel. He's actually quite rigid when it comes to wheel-to-wheel racing.
No, he's done a terrific job this year. Terrific job. But it's under pressure. He's produced what he's had to produce because he has to produce it. Now, Sebastian needs to start producing stuff, because otherwise Charles Leclerc is going to blow him away. And people are going to say, well, how did, you know, Sebastian Vettel won 4 world championships because his teammate was Mark Webber. You know, that's what people will start to say, believe me. I mean, it's unfair to Mark Webber, but there's no question about it. Red Bull favored Sebastian, and they made Sebastian feel, here we are, we'll wrap you up in cotton wool. There's no nasty stuff at all. You'll feel good. You're going to win championships. And he did. But out there in the big, bad world, Sebastian doesn't favor, you know, he doesn't come across awfully well.
Certainly not. Well, we're talking about the future, Joe. There's loads of questions in the chat room about 2021. Mm-hmm. And we know you're the man for politics and regulations. I tend not to look as far forward as that. I know a lot of my panelists do. Is this where we're getting our cost cap?
The cost cap is entirely logical. It's entirely sensible for everybody. They won't argue it, the teams, because it's a disadvantage. But from a company point of view, if their chairman look at it, they go, this is insane. How can we possibly spend $400 million on Formula One? Let's do it for half that. And if their teams are any good, they will win at half the cost. But that turns itself into a positive, because if you can beat somebody at the same price, therefore, it's a bit like crash testing. The crash testing industry, everyone in the car industry was opposed to crash testing because they might look bad. But eventually, when it was forced upon them, they realized that crash testing made them look good, and they turned it into a positive. We've got a 5-star car, you know, and they hoped that people who want to buy Volvos would buy more Volvos, whatever, you know. But basically, crash testing and all these other things, if you turn them around, a cost cap is a positive. In every respect, is a positive. So it's not smart to argue against it. And that's why you've got a lot of sort of dancing on the fence going on.
Right.
The rich teams particularly, they don't want to say, nah, we want to keep the money because it helps us win. You know, they just want to say, we're all in favor of it because my boss says we have to be in favor of it, but I'm actually not quite sure if I can win on that budget. So they should all just hire Otmar Szaf now, who knows how to win on a budget.
So, but they, you think that will come through, though? You think they will get that agreement? And then the other question from EJ Hammer is, you know, is more around the technical stuff. You know, is there any other objections apart from this cost cap, like things they're doing with downforce and tyres and things like that?
No. I mean, they're going to do, they'll do clever stuff for 90 million, 120 million, 150 million, whatever. You don't need 300 million to do clever stuff. You just have to be clever and simple. So money is not the fundamental. What money does, it gives you the opportunity to search out things that are wrong. It doesn't give you the opportunity to find things that are right. That's just genius.
So if you look at the teams in the midfield that are doing that at the moment, you've kind of got Renault above that line, and then you've got Force India, Racing Point, Stroll, and Haas that are probably in and about where the cost cap's going to be, or are they below where it currently is?
No, they're below.
They're below. So they'll still be at a disadvantage to the top four.
Yeah, well, yeah, but Williams, you know, Williams is about cost cap level, and they're f***ing up. They're f***ing up massively. They're messing up massively. Write that down as a bleep.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Question from the chat, a follow-up from Dejutma. He says, isn't it easy to circumvent the cost cap, especially for the bigger organisations, and is engine development part of the cost cap?
Engine development is not part of the cost cap, and it's impossible to circumvent the cost cap because everybody in Formula One is an expert on everything. Team bosses are experts on everything. Well, if you ask an accountant if it's possible to police a cost cap, they say, of course it is. Team bosses know better than expert accountants because they're team bosses and therefore they're geniuses in every respect. I mean, Ron Dennis was the great example of this. Ron Dennis knew better than everybody about everything. But the fact is, you don't. These accountants know what they're talking about. So if they want to find a way of policing a cost cap, they will do it. And the other thing is, it becomes self-policing anyway because the major manufacturers cannot afford to get caught cheating. So they will police it themselves. And because people move from team to team, if anyone's cheating, it'll be found out real quick. So, you know, the fact is, of course it's policeable. It's easy to police. And it's not a problem.
So what is a problem for me, Joe, is your mucky language. You know, you wouldn't kiss your mother with that mouth, but you come into my shed and I have to filter you. But Pete Jenkins asks, can we have a Joe Sayward unfiltered every now and then, please? No, not on my watch, Peter. However, you are pretty unfiltered when you do your live audiences, Joe. We must be getting around the time for an audience with Joe, surely.
Yeah, there's one coming up in Canada. Friday in Canada, I shall be doing, with all the Fs and other things, whatever the words are.
Yep.
And without any bleeping going on, without any, you know, small children can come along if they want, but they'll learn some new language before they go home. That's the way of the world. And I'm sorry if that offends the shed, but I don't give a monkey's.
Well that done, is. Joe. Well done.
Is monkeys all right?
Yeah, it's fine. I was impressed with that. In Canada, Canada is far away.
I'm sure that monkeys is Cockney rhyming slang for something nasty.
Canada's far away, though, Joe.
I'm sure they understand the words. Yeah. It's just, it's part of the language. Actually, there was a survey the other day that said people who swear more are nicer people and more intelligent.
Good. Well, in that case, the shed is stupid and unintelligent. No, that's the same thing.
That's all true. So
that's the same thing. Yes, more questions. More questions for you, Joe. People want your wisdom. Of course, at the live events, people can just ask you questions to your heart's content, and you will answer them for about 4 hours. Joe says, Joe, do you think Lewis is going to win the 2019 championship? Now, hold your fire. Hold your fire, Joe. We're getting to a critical point in the season. We've got the European upgrades coming up. Everybody thinks they're coming in with a new package. We've had a good look at Mercedes and Ferrari. It's probably between those two at the moment. Do you think Lewis Hamilton is going to win this championship in the Mercedes in 2019?
I have no idea.
Oh, wildly speculate.
Who's leading the championship?
Bottas.
Okay. So is Lewis Hamilton going to win?
Yes.
Okay, we agree.
Okay, good. Well, I think the threat from Ferrari is going to wane because I think they're going to stop looking ahead at chasing down Mercedes any minute and have to look over their shoulder to defend against Red Bull. And I think like Red Bull, with their developing prowess, that you could see them putting Ferrari under pressure and just going down a terrible path.
Except you're missing out one key point, and that is the Italian psyche, which is, you've got a whole bunch of Italian pressmen who are hounding Ferrari all the time. Ferrari are messing up, and they have to start covering their bottoms, I believe the term is. I'd love to see them taking risks and going for it and just doing better. And they can. Maybe they can. I hope they can, because, there's nothing better for Formula One than Ferrari winning in a legal way.
What? Why? I don't want Ferrari winning. Why do they need to win? Why do I need them to win?
Excuse me, but there are many, many more Ferrari fans in the world than there are Mercedes fans, McLaren fans, Williams fans, and Red Bull fans. I'm sorry, but if you go anywhere in the world, you see the Ferrari flags flying. They are the most popular team, whether we like them or not.
Are you sure? I don't think I've ever met a Ferrari fan, though. Are they out and about? In the real world?
You're obviously not going to the right places.
I'm not going to Monza. Maybe I should go to Monza if I'm ever welcome.
No, it's not just Monza, it's everywhere. Everywhere you go, there are Ferrari fans, and you have to be alert to this fact that they are the most popular team, whether you like it or not.
So if Ferrari left F1 tomorrow, what do you think would happen to the sport?
They're not going to.
You've dodged the question.
No, I haven't dodged the question. It is a very... Formula One is as valuable to Ferrari as Ferrari is valuable to Formula One. It's a catch-22. They can't leave. If you look at the numbers today, today they published their Q1 results, up 21%. They are selling cars left, right, and center. Why are they selling cars? Do they build the greatest cars in the world? Not really, no. Do they build cars that are sexy and people with big gold Rolexes will get the girls if they have the cars? Yes, they do.
That's what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah, just get some money, buy a Rolex or whatever it is, buy a Rolex, buy a Ferrari, and you're off, if you want that kind of girl. But that's what they do. And they made a billion in the first 3 months of this year, a billion. Okay, they're going to make 4 billion by the end of the year, 3.5, or whatever that they are projecting. Formula One is just really part of the glitz, but it's a necessary part of the glitz. Without it, it's not sexy. Ferrari is not as sexy if they just go and do Le Mans. I mean, frankly, who cares about Le Mans? No, I'm sorry. There's a bunch of people out there who are going to make a big fuss if I say such a thing, but who cares?
You just don't like anything that isn't F1. You even attacked the W Series on my poor little Twitter timeline, Joe.
I did not. I just questioned whether it was relevant. What's the point? If the girls are going to be successful, they're going to be successful after W Series.
Yes.
Therefore, what's the point of W Series?
To give them exposure and to highlight that women are in racing and to encourage young girls to get involved and tell them that it's for them.
Yeah, so we've had that one the first weekend. Let's see what happens next weekend.
I feel this is a battle that's going to run and run.
No, it's not a battle. There's a basic reality, which is that all the Fleet Street boys were sent off to Hockenheim last weekend because David Coulthard probably invited them. I don't know. I'd be interesting to find out. But they all wrote nice things about W Series and Jamie Chadwick. I don't know her. She was so far ahead of everybody else. It was embarrassing in a way. She's clearly very good. Hope she makes it. But why is she wasting her time? She just get on and get to Formula 2 and get it done. Now, I don't see why the W Series, I understand how people can make money from it, but I don't understand why it has a relevance. And that's, I'm not against women racing drivers, far from it. I want to see more and more of them. The more women racing drivers we have, the more popular we are, Formula 1, in the world. It's very simple. It's not rocket science. So let's just stop messing about with people making some money on the side or you know, diverting people off to the side saying it's a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea. A good idea is to win in Formula 3, win in Formula 2.
Boo. I think it's a brilliant idea, dear Joe. Boo. Anyway, I've heard that W Series is pushing to be an F1 support race. That would raise its profile, wouldn't it? Because, to be honest, it's on Channel 4. It's got a big advantage over a lot of the other junior series. If they ran Formula 2 and Formula 3 on Channel 4, I'd watch that as well.
Yeah, but why is it on Channel 4?
Because of David Coulthard's relationship with the channel.
Bingo!
But it's, oh, okay. Do you know what? You're right about the money, Joe. Let's stick to a sport where no one makes any money. Back to Formula One and Liberty Media, who are rumoured to already be unsettled. And Josh Geek asks, are Liberty thinking of selling Formula One already?
No. What stupid idea is that? Where did Josh Geek, or whatever he's called, get such a stupid idea? It was probably written on Forbes. It's just such crap that's written these days. They are putting value into the championship. It is building up. If I were you and I had some money, I'd buy Formula One shares tomorrow because Formula One is going to grow massively. And all the rubbish, I had to stop myself there. All the rubbish that is written about this and that, just look at the names. Look at the names of the people who write the articles, and you'll find the answer. The answer is there are certain people who are negative about the sport, and if anybody actually believes what they write, well, they're Muppets. Because the fact is that the people who are writing, the names of the people who are writing, they're just throwbacks to the Eccleston era who just are off the pace.
Wow. Talk about saying everything except the guy's name. But when you comment on my Twitter stuff, I also get involved and embroiled in that individual's thoughts and opinions.
Well, I don't. I'm not interested in him, but I'm just saying.
He doesn't like you much, Joe.
This guy, he doesn't like me because I tell the truth. The fact is, this guy's a million miles off the pace. He's not allowed in anywhere in Formula One. Nobody's interested in him. Nobody gives a toss, but he just has a few people who are just so stupid they keep on giving him airtime, and that's why these stories exist. There's no way in hell they're going to sell. It's ridiculous. They are building up to making it a whole lot bigger and better. And you know, if that particular person was smart, he would spend the money he earns from Forbes, which is about £3.50. And he'd try to buy himself a share in Formula One. Okay? That would be the smart thing to do. Because if I have any money, I'll buy shares in Formula One because that is going big time. And if I had been smart in 2015, I would have bought Ferrari shares at $52. Do you know what they are today?
$58.
$133.
That's a lot more.
So who's smart? Not me. I should have bought Ferrari shares. But if I had money right now, I would buy Formula One shares because I think it's gonna fly, and you know I certainly wouldn't buy Forbes shares.
So Liberty staying, but right at the beginning of the show, you dropped a bit of a bombshell, Joe. You said Germany's gone, and you said Spain's gone, and everyone's always saying Monza's going to go every year. If I'm going to do my European tour,
Monza's back.
Yeah,
Monza's got a new deal. And who cares whether Spain's gone?
Now, personally, I don't like it as a track, and F1's probably outgrown it. However, there's a lot of history to it, and if it is shutting down and it is going, I want to fly out there and make sure I catch a Grand Prix at the world-famous Catalunya Grand Prix.
Well, get on a plane this week, then.
Really? Is it that bad?
Yes, it is, because it's gone next year.
That's confirmed. Are they about to tweet you and say, fake news, Joe, they can
tweet as much as they like, but there will be an F1 calendar comes out from the FIA at some point, and Spain is very unlikely to be on it.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, for a number of reasons. One is it never produces good racing.
Nope.
Two, Fernando Alonso has retired. Three, Catalonia and Spain are two very different things, and someone has to pay for it. And four, Zandvoort's coming along, and Holland has got lots of reasons to be interested in Formula One. So, now, on the other hand, you have the German Grand Prix, where there's lots of good reasons why it should happen, but it's not happening. Why is that? Nobody's going to pay for it. So, what do? We go to Vietnam. We go to Holland. There's no shortage. There is no shortage of races in the future. And if you want to be on the calendar, you've got to move pretty damn quick, because you have South Africa coming. You have Saudi Arabia coming. Malaysia is being turned down, and they are willing to pay more money. They are more money than anybody else.
Malaysia?
Malaysia is being turned down.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's a shame, because I like that track.
Yeah, so do I. But the fact is that if they offered 100 million, they will be turned down, because it's not a destination city.
And that's what they're going for, destination cities. It's a shame. Barcelona's just been part of the fabric of F1.
It's not a shame. It's a reality.
Okay.
And there will be better racetracks, because they're designing them to be better. So Vietnam will be a good racetrack.
Okay, cool. And by that same logic, we'll get rid of Monaco as well and Hungary.
No. Monaco is different, because Monaco is Monaco. Hungary is irrelevant, but they're smart enough to have done a very, very long-term deal.
Ah, I see. Well, that explains that. I see.
No, if they're smart enough to do that deal, or they have enough money, like Baku or Russia or whatever, they just pay enough money, and eventually you're going to, there are three kinds of races in Formula One, okay? There are races that are very, very valuable. There are races that are strategically important, and there are races that are historically vaguely necessary. Okay? So, the more races that pay more money, the pressure goes on the historical races, because, why would you keep up with historical races when you can earn three times as much money in other places? You have to keep some of the historical races, because that keeps the fans happy. But strategic race is about the future. So you can do deals for Miami or Beijing street race or whatever. These are cheap races. It brings less money in, but they're more important for the sport, because it means that the sport will grow outside just having the races. And people say, why don't we go to Watkins Glen or Laguna Seca and all this sort of stuff? The fact is that that's not where the money is. If the money was there, we would go to these places. It's really very simple. It's business. And you have to balance business with the sport. And it doesn't mean that all the new races are rubbish. It doesn't mean that you're going to lose out on great racetracks, because they're keeping some of the great racetracks in there. But if you're Silverstone, you need to be very careful, because you've got Monza confirmed, you've got Spa confirmed, you have Suzuka confirmed. And Silverstone has a sort of a special place, but not forever. If they keep messing about, eventually, if Liberty can do a race in Britain, they don't care about Silverstone. Silverstone is only on the calendar because it's a traditional race. Austria's only on the calendar because Red Bull pays. It would be gone without Red Bull. It'd be gone. There is no historical element to it. It's a good payer. So, you have to balance all these things. Just remember those three key groups. And the key groups, strategic is important and high paying is important. That's why we go to Sochi.
Well, I've heard the Silverstone thing's a done deal, Joe. So you don't need to worry about that. I've got three sources on it now.
No. That's also, I also believe it is a done deal. But if they're saying it's not, it's clearly not, is it?
I want to finish up about asking you about TV Pro, F1 TV Pro, because the chat room is screaming at me. But first of all, I always like to make sure that our listeners know where to get more Joe. Now, I'm not much of a reader, Joe, and pretty much the only written news source I go to is by searching Joe Blogs F1, where you do your little green notebook and such. And reading it, it seems like you almost like that more than coming to the shed and talking to me.
Don't be silly.
Oh, good, because my feelings were going to be hurt there. But you do quite kind of, it could almost be a travel log. Have you ever thought of doing one of those TV programs like Steve Coogan and the Welsh one, where they
I do travelogues because people like that. I used to write news every day. First of all, there isn't Formula One news every day, so you have to make it up. You don't make it up, but you have to extrapolate. Okay? You have to extrapolate a lot. And therefore, I gave up doing daily stuff. But what people really like, and you see it from the numbers, is the lifestyle of Formula One. Nobody writes about the lifestyle in Formula One. It's really bizarre. It's really strange. It's not rocket science to do. Anyone can do it, but it seems like I'm the only one who does. So, you know, being stuck in an airport, doing this, doing that, that's what is interesting to a lot of people. They don't want to do it themselves, but it's the idea. It's the dream of doing it. So I'm kind of living people's dreams. And so I'm going to tell them about it, you know. The Shoeshine Boys in Dubai. It's fun. You know, I've been there 8 times in the last 7-8 weeks. And the Shoeshine Boys attack me every single time. They're really, these guys are real experts. They go, oh, R.M. Williams, you need to clean them. You know, how do you know that? You know, how do you know what my shoes are, for God's sake? You know, these guys are pros. I mean, you know, it's really terrific. And flying around the world is like that. You know, you have these weird stories wherever you go. And people like that kind of stuff.
So there you go. Search Joe Blogs F1 to live the shoeshine dream with Uncle Joe Sayward. But yeah, it's a great blog.
You can also, you know, buy Grand Prix Plus magazine, which is fabulous, proper magazine. You can also buy the JSBM. Just Google it. And that's where the real scoops come from. And
still waiting for mates rates on that, Joe. Come on. 50% discount, surely. I've put the time in. Unbelievable. Right, I'm not plugging it anymore then.
The other one is Fascinating F1 Facts.
Fascinating F1 Facts. And if you want to read Fascinating F1 Facts, because let's face it, you don't always want to touch your phone while you're on the bathroom. Sometimes you want a bite-sized book or story or fact to read. So if you want to buy Joe's bathroom book, Fascinating F1 Facts, you can. But also... What? It is.
Is bathroom an American expression? Are you talking about loos?
I didn't want to say toilet, but I guess you forced me to now. If you want to buy Joe's toilet book, you can. Fascinating F1 Facts. You can buy that off Amazon. In fact, here we go. I've got a copy here. So it's a very, very smartly presented book. There you go.
Volume, is that one or two?
It's volume two that I've got there at the moment. Sorry,
fabulous. Volume one's also fabulous, and volume three will be fabulous too.
But Joe is also kindly letting me put together some of the key facts into a little podcast stream to see if people like it. So there will be a separate F1 Fascinating Facts voiced by Spanners podcast stream coming up soon. Shall we answer the people's question, Joe? They're all clamoring to know what is up with TV Pro. So I'm watching it on Sky TV because I have to. I resent it. I've had it stolen from me, but I've got over it. But in America land, we have Matt Trumpets, our co-host here, who is constantly struggling to get hold of it. The stream keeps going down for him. The live timing, which he loves, never works. So what is going on with F1 TV Pro? I hear they had to issue quite a lot of refunds.
Well, I think you've gone dead on me. Yep.
No, I just stopped talking because you were talking.
No, you didn't. You're unstable, apparently. It says here on my screen, your internet collection is unstable.
Have you been speaking to Mrs. Spanners again?
No, it came up on the screen. I can't help it.
Okay.
I mean, she may be right, but that's another story. The answer is very simple, and that is that F1 TV is still... when you look at the overall scheme of things, it was a very, very soft launch. They want to get all the problem sorted out before they sell it to hundreds of millions of people. Now, there are lots of people who've bought it, and it's frustrating that it's not working properly. But it is, you know, we're moving towards the fact that it is going to work properly. And they keep, you know, they keep refunding everybody when things go wrong because they don't want to upset anybody. But the fact is that, you know, this thing is going to be absolutely brilliant when it works and when everything is ready to do it all properly. And that's what we have to think of. We have to look in the long term. I understand people who are frustrated. I think in America you can watch it on cable. If you don't have that particular cable, it's ESPN, I think, isn't it? So, you know, you can watch it at very little cost. Sky in Britain is a big problem, and it's a big problem for Formula One because, you know, that's just – it's stuck behind a paywall for the next 5 years. But that's not the fault of Liberty Media. Bernie Ecclestone did that deal. And it's a very big deal. No, no, it's a very big deal financially, but it's wrong. And that's what Liberty is doing. They're saying, this is wrong. We don't believe in pay TV. They believe in balancing all the different ways that money comes in right now. But ultimately, they want to go to free-to-air television so that they can drive the sport forward, and they can give fans who are really keen on all the detail, they can give them something they can't get elsewhere. But, you know, they're stuck with Bernie's deals, I'm afraid. Now, on the one hand, that's good because it's lots of money. But on the other hand, it's not good because I think that when F1 TV works properly, it will generate huge amounts more than the Sky deal. And if it, you know, you can't stop it. Sky ain't going to say, oh, we'll just give it up because we're nice people.
True.
They're not going to do it. You know, so if you want it, go out and pirate it, whatever. You know, I'm not advocating criminality, but apparently
you are.
Well, I'm not.
You literally just did that.
No, I'm advocating fans finding ways to watch it.
I just put an edit point there, 57 minutes. Joe condoned crime. Edit. For the sake of not going to jail. Joe Sayward, thank you so much.
Crime? Is it crime? It's Pirate, passion.
You wouldn't steal a handbag, said 90s DVD warnings.
It's a crime of passion. In France, you get off for next to nothing for shooting your wife's lover. It's okay.
Joe Sayward, you are heading not too far from home. You're heading off to Barcelona. I think there is something still special about the European leg of Formula One. Do you feel that in the paddock? Do people enjoy being closer to home and in Europe?
Well, of course they do, but it's because it's easy. You know, the fact is that the Formula One market, Formula One was born in Europe and has been in Europe and should remain in Europe, but it should not close down other options. You know, this year, I think there's 7 or 8 European Grand Prix only. These vast, silly motorhomes that everyone has are only used 7 or 8 times a year now. Everything else is, you know, if you look at the numbers, it's ridiculous that they have these things. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. Save some money. And do it sensibly. And this is one of the things about Formula One. You know, you have these amazing, ridiculous buildings that have to be torn apart by acrobats and 100 people and 350 trucks to go from place to place. Doesn't make any sense at all. Just build one in each place you go.
What does make sense is staying tuned to Missed Apex podcast. We are going to bring you a race review of the Barcelona Grand Prix at 8 p.m. UK time after the race. We might be wrong, but we're first. And sometimes we're wrong about being first. But you can come and join us on YouTube by searching Missed Apex Podcast. We have a live chat room. You can chat along. You heard Joe was answering your questions in the chat room. Make sure you subscribe to us on your podcatcher of choice. And also tune into our sister shows, E-Radio Show and Missed Apex W Series. Until next time, remember that wounds heal, chicks dig scars, and glory lasts forever. This was Inside F1 with Joe Sayward. Did you like how I got all up in the mic for that last bit? Joe, it sounded dead radio, didn't I, Joe?
I hope you're being paid loads of money by the W Series for promotional skills.
Oh, yeah, we're getting cash money on the side. DC was in the shed just the other day saying, Spanners, it's going okay, but I need you to drop some shed content for us. And I was like, no problem, DC, I got you covered. And I said, brah, because that's what I'm like. That's how I roll. I'm sorry.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.